That's why I wanted to talk to you about life after the letdown. When I say the letdown, I am leaving it open-ended so that you can supply your own event, experience, or condition where I say the term letdown. It's kind of like a code language, okay? I have secret hand signals with my family that mean things when we're in public. And for the rest of our time today, you are my family, and this is gonna be our secret signal to each other. When I say letdown, you put the one in there that you don't talk about. So when I say letdown, you will have something that you may not even have language for that will come up when I talk about the letdown. We are so quick not only to want to get to heaven when we die one day, but to want to get to the part of the story where Jesus got up, that we will waltz right past the part where he went to Jerusalem to be handed over and crucified at the hands of sinful men. There is really no way for us to experience Easter, the events of Easter, without experiencing the events of the cross. And there is really no way for us to experience the events of the cross like the disciples did. Because for us, the cross has a certain measure of comfort. We know that our sin is nailed to that cross. We know that it canceled the written regulation that stood against us. We know that the power of shame was broken on the cross of Christ. We know all of that. So when we sing the wonderful cross, when we survey the wondrous cross, we see the promise of redemption and atonement and his blood that was shed for us. But that same blood that we rejoice in represented for the disciples a broken promise and an unmet expectation of the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. These were his friends. Peter was a friend of Jesus. Everybody has crazy friends. And Peter was Jesus's crazy friend. Who's your crazy friend? I don't have any crazy friend. Then you are the crazy friend. Peter was Jesus's kind of crazy. One dude came over to the church. He said, I just followed my kids over here to see if you were running a cult. My kid came over, was so excited about church. I said, my kid is excited about church. That must be a cult. And I came over to find out if you were crazy. I said, well, was I? And he said, yeah, it wasn't a cult, but you are crazy. But you're my kind of crazy. And I gave him a fist bump and I was like, that's all right, because this whole thing that we're celebrating today is kind of crazy. Try this side of the room. This side of the room has no anointing of honesty whatsoever today. This is kind of crazy. I'm gonna have to preach to the people in the back who got here late. This, I'm gonna have to go out and preach it in the overflow. This is kind of crazy. It's crazy. It didn't seem crazy at first. When Peter met Jesus, all Jesus said was, can I use your boat to preach? There's nothing crazy about preaching, and there's nothing crazy about doing it from a boat. Because that would provide natural amplification for Jesus' voice. Matter of fact, if you really liked the Bible, you were confused when I read the story, because you're like, is this a resurrection scripture? Isn't this what happened when Jesus first called Peter? And you're right. It's the same story from the other side. It's the same story from the other side. But let me show you how it started. When Peter was out fishing one night and he caught nothing, the only thing that the stories have in common, really, is that Peter wasn't a very good fisherman in either one. The only thing that I can really find that's exactly the same is empty nets, right? And there's a message in that. There is a message in that about the God who loves to fill what is empty and the God who loves to empty what is full. One is the nets, the other is the tomb. My faith is not in my own fullness. My faith is not in my own ability. My faith is not in my own righteousness. That's not how I'm getting to heaven. you get to heaven how you want to get to heaven, but I don't have the perfection pass. It's not going to let me through. I don't have my card punched. Not all the time. I'm honest. I'm sincere. I love the Lord and all of that. But sometimes I slip and sometimes I'm crazy and not in the Christian way of crazy. Okay, now that that's out of the way, let me show you when Jesus called Peter. Look at this. It says that Jesus, Luke 5, verse 4, had finished speaking and he said to Simon, that's Peter's given name, not the name Jesus gave him, but the name his parents gave him. He said, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Everybody say, let down. Next verse. Peter said, this makes no sense. We fished all night. We've caught nothing. We're hanging it up for the night. There's no need for us to keep fishing in the daytime. The fish won't come to the surface when the water gets hot. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. I will let down the nets. This was the beginning of Peter's participation in the ministry of Jesus. And I preached about it many times in the church, so I won't bore you with the review today. But when he let down the nets in that passage of scripture, he could have had no way of knowing how his life would change because of the moment that he let down the nets. He could have had no idea that he would be front row seat to blind eyes open when he let down the nets. He could have had no way of knowing that he would see the widow from Nain's son raised from the dead when he let down the nets. He could have had no idea that he would have seen a roof come off a house because the ministry of Jesus would be so popular that people, watch this, on an Easter Sunday, if they couldn't get in the overflow, they would rappel down the roof to see Jesus. I don't preach as good as Jesus, so the roof is still here. But Jesus had so much power that stuff started falling from the ceiling when they said, I'm so sorry, you'll have to sit in overflow. They were like, oh, I'm not sitting in overflow. I'm sitting in the room. I got a need, and I got a friend who has a need, and I'm going to get my friend to the feet of the one who has the word. He taught with so much power and authority that the crowds loved him until he got to the part that they couldn't stomach. Until he let them down. Now, this is something I want to bring you today and see if it resonates with your heart. Are you a come-up Christian only? You know what I mean by come-up? In the original Hebrew, come-up means the part of the story where the success is accumulating and the benefits are accruing. It seems that Peter, as he followed Jesus through a certain season, was experiencing the come up, which made it the ultimate betrayal of Peter's faith when Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, Peter said, no, not you. And the cross interrupted the come up. Now, we experience the cross in the knowledge that Jesus isn't there anymore. We experience the cross with the knowledge that the ultimate destruction can be transformed into the ultimate redemption. We experience the cross that way. But for the disciples, the cross was shaped like a question mark. Did we waste our lives? Did we throw our careers away? Should I have listened to my mom and not followed this carpenter's son all through the Galilean region? So I think before we rush to the part where he got up, that's the Easter part. I can make everybody in the room clap real quick. High five three people and say, he got up, he got up, he got up, he got up. What you won't see while they're high-fiving you is the letdown that they pushed down. And that's why yesterday was hard for me, because I was imagining us together. And I knew you were gonna wear your best button-down shirt, because mom came to church with you today. And you don't tell her you normally come to Elevation Church in a tank top, but you dressed up today. And I spent yesterday thinking about the fact that before he got up, they were let down. And the Lord was ministering to me about my letdowns. Yeah, I have some. I went through my camera roll recently, and I was laughing at some pictures and smiling at some pictures. And some of them made me want to cry. Made me want to cry because I could almost divide my camera roll into halves based on certain things, people, plans, and places where I experienced a letdown. One of them in particular was right in the middle of the summer 2013 when Dad died. I could see a dividing line almost between that year. That was a hard year for me in general. A lot of things happened that year. I'm not here to have you do therapy for me, and I want you to send me a bill. But I could almost see my eyes change in the pictures before and after. You know how we say that the birth of Jesus Christ changed everything? That's an incomplete statement. Because if he didn't die, it changed nothing. His teachings wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be recorded. And if he died and didn't rise, then his death was in vain. So really, the dividing line for my understanding of my relationship with God is not that he was born in a manger, and not even that he died on a tree, as much as both of those things inform my faith. The fact that he got up is what divides my life. And yet, don't clap. Because that's the part. Y'all want me there so bad. Yes, he got up, he got up, he got up, he got up, he got up. Like popcorn going up all over the church. The Lord directed me before we can really get to that in a way that matters more than a motivational speech. We need to decide, is he the Lord of your letdowns? Why did you give me this message for Easter Sunday, Lord? This is supposed to be a happy day. I was looking through the pictures and I thought, man, that guy who was 28 didn't know what that guy knew who's 42. And some of it, I feel like this gray hair gave me a little bit of authority, wisdom. Yeah, can't you feel it? But some of it, I saw something had changed in my eyes after I found out what people can do to you. After I found out that not everything I'm going to put on my wish list of God to do is going to come. And here's the biggest one, okay? Because a lot of times we talk about letdowns in terms of the thing that you went after, that you wanted, that you didn't get. Some of the biggest letdowns are the things that you wanted and you went after and you got them and you can't send them back. Your letdown. I got one honest organist. Some of the things that you asked God for. Do you know why I feel so uncomfortable when we get to this part of the story? Because we know the ending, so we just want to skip there. Peter did it. He went fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. Do you hate fishing, preacher? Are you saying fishing is a sin? No, Peter didn't do anything sinful. There's nothing wrong with fishing. Peter didn't go open a strip club. Oh, well, I guess if God isn't going to do what I want, I'm just going to go sell drugs. I got to provide for my babies. I got to take care of my family. I got to do what I got to do. Peter went back to what he knew. It's not what he did that shocked me. It's when he did it. This is the third time he's seen Jesus since he's been alive from the dead. I can totally understand Peter goes fishing because Jesus hasn't made a special appearance yet. But he's already seen Jesus. And he's back fishing because he's still living in the letdown. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I trust God. So when God says yes, I accept it. But when he says no, I equally accept it, knowing that he knows what's best for me. This is not your Easter sermon. The Lord didn't give me a message for you because apparently you are already in heaven. The rest of us need a message about the low moments of our faith. I don't just need, oh, man, this is so powerful. How can you go fishing when there's a whole world to be reached? How can you go fishing when Jesus hasn't even ascended to heaven yet? This is only the second week after his resurrection. We've still got weeks to go, and Peter's fishing, and Jesus has nothing better to do than to cook breakfast? What about that? Jesus needs a time management class. You want to change the whole world and you have a message of resurrection and you are wasting time here cooking for these jokers who forsook you on the cross. And not only that, he calls them his friends. I need God to help me to give me that kind of love, because I have this certain line that when people cross it, I have a really hard time letting them back in again. I don't know if this is right or wrong, but there is a certain line where if somebody lets me down long enough, I'll just start working around them. I won't cuss them out. I won't call down curses from heaven on them. I'll just stop letting them in. I'll just kill my expectation of you if you let me down long enough. I'm the same way about life. If I pray for something or go after something or work towards something and I do it long enough, if I get let down long enough, I will not let hope in anymore. So Jesus stands as my model and Peter stands as my message. Jesus is standing on the shore calling to the same disciples who let him down in his lowest moment. And he approaches them with empty nets and says, would you like to eat some breakfast? Now, this passage I selected because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a well-documented event. You believe it or you don't. But this part will redefine your relationship with the resurrected Christ. Because if you think that he only got up for the moments where your faith is high, you have missed the message of John chapter 21, which says that before Jesus could go forward, before Jesus could be taken, before Jesus could be seated at the right hand of God, before Jesus could sit down and call his work on earth finished, he had to find Peter. This is not the first time, the second time, or the last time. But there is something significant about the third time. Peter had three denials. Jesus was dead for 3 days, three times. This is the third time. It represents the point at which their expectation had run out. And Jesus steps into this moment, the moment at which they still had no fish. Jesus steps into the moment where the fog and the mist is so cold on the sea that it is blowing against their face and they cannot even recognize his presence. And he chooses the lowest moment of your life sometimes to reveal the greatest love. He chooses the lowest moment of your life sometimes to reveal his greatest love. So while we can praise God for all the great things that he has done, and while we can praise him that he got up, because we read that part because it's in the Bible, but it wasn't in their Bible because this book hadn't been written yet. So they had to sit there in the boat and wonder in the middle of the storm. Just because he got up doesn't mean they knew what to do next. We preach it like that, like, accept Jesus and life will be wonderful. What? I have found my Christian experience doesn't help me to avoid any of the disappointments of life. It's not avoidance. You keep thinking that more and more, if you pray, God will help you avoid certain storms. No. Faith doesn't make me avoid it. It helps me transform it.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.